Constituent town hall meetings have become more contentious lately as national lawmakers return home to advocate for or against policies being voted on in Washington, D.C. Republicans have been on the receiving end of much of the frustration this time around, and some of them have opted to not hold town hall meetings.
Because of this, some Democratic members of Congress have decided to hold town hall meetings in their Republican colleagues' districts.
Representative Mark Pocan joins us now. He's a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 2nd congressional district, which includes Madison. He held a town hall-style meeting today in House Speaker Paul Ryan's district. Representative Pocan, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
First of all, why did you have an event in your neighbor's district?
Well, you know, I understand people don't like to go to a town hall when people, you know, disagree with them. But, you know, we've got some really big issues facing this country, and part of our job as elected representatives is to talk to the people who hire us, which is our constituents. And what we saw was after the health care vote last week, 217 people voted for the bill, and less than 20 of them had a town hall this week to try to explain that and other things. So because of that, you know, you can't just hide from your constituents. I was invited by a group board, Kenosha, to come down there, and I thought it would be a good idea, since Paul Ryan was the author of that bill, to really explain it to people.
And what was your response? Again, a sympathetic organization, I would imagine, hosting this event, but what kind of response did you get from people in that district?
Well, you know, again, one of the reasons you do town halls is to have those personal conversations. So there are people sharing their stories about pre-existing conditions and, you know, a child who has a health ailment that they're afraid could lose coverage, or losing a lifetime, you know, having a lifetime cap on coverage could affect them negatively. And, you know, just listening to people so that you know how to craft the best legislation is what your job is. And, you know, the fact that the Republicans rushed this terrible bill together without waiting for a CBO score, without really knowing the full ramifications, you know, made it that someone had to be down there to provide some of those answers. And, you know, I think that this is something we need to do in more districts. It's not just this. It's, you know, Russian interference with our elections. It's, you know, the banning of some people coming into this country. There's a lot of issues that people aren't responding to their constituents on, and it's just not right. And I think, you know, some of us need to go into those districts then and provide answers.
Hostile questions, negative questions, challenging questions would be one thing. Some Republicans have come to these, and there have been pretty tough crowds, angry, hostile, talking over the representative. I mean, do we get to a point sometimes where it's not productive to have that if people are going to organize an effort to just to shout down the representative?
Yeah, you'd be surprised how much the crowd themselves help to self-police that. You know, I had a couple at a town hall I had this week that you know, didn't agree with me on the health care, and they were vocal, and I made sure they were heard. And, you know, that's the way you do it. You can't be afraid of the people who hire you. If you do, maybe you should find a different job. So, you know, I felt that it was important to get down there and try to send a message that people don't need to be afraid of their constituents. You know, people don't agree with you on everything, but it's, I think, incredibly disrespectful to ignore the people who live in your district, and I was just down there trying to help provide that message.
Did you get the sense that there were Republicans, that there were supporters of the House Republican health care plan at this event?
You know, I couldn't really tell if there were supporters of it. I mean, by the questions, you know, we went to a number of different subjects. Clearly, I think what I've heard in my district, and quite honestly, yesterday I was up in the Fox Valley in the Green Bay area with Mike Gallagher, a Republican, where we were doing joint events together. You know, you hear people have a lot of anxiety. So I think it's just important that people talk to their constituents, because how can you actually represent them if you don't listen to them? And, you know, I think sometimes people get a little lost inside the Beltway. They hang around Washington too much or around people who fund campaigns. And, you know, the single most important thing we can do is listen to the people who elect us.
I was going to ask about that idea of a Democrat and Republican getting together in kind of a buddy system. What was that like to be up there with Representative Gallagher?
You know, it was great, because we don't agree on every issue, but what you try to do is find out what you have in common. You work off of that first, and then maybe you can figure out the things you don't have in common from there. But you start from a fundamental place of being able to do that. And I give, you know, Mike Gallagher credit that we did this joint appearance in Appleton. And, you know, he had some tough questions. We both answered them together, offered our perspective. And, you know, I think that's the kind of dialogue that is worthy of the jobs that we have. But the bottom line is we do have to talk to our constituents. And unfortunately, way too many people after that healthcare vote decided to hide and not talk to the people who actually elect them.
And looking at that healthcare plan, what is it? Obviously, you're opposed to it in its current form. What would you like to see change?
Well, I mean, their bill is really awful on multiple fronts. You know, according to the Congressional Budget Office, at least 24 million people could potentially lose their health insurance under their bill. It's going to make older Americans pay five times more than others, which is the wrong direction to go. It cuts $880 billion from the Medicaid program, and that affects a lot of seniors and people with disabilities and children in this state. There's a lot of provisions that are going to make it harder for people to have health care, and at the end, cost us all by having to pay more for that health care. So there's some real problems with their bill.
They've Republicans have raised the point that when it comes especially to the individual marketplace under the Affordable Care Act, a lot of companies have gotten out of the market in many parts of the country, leaving a few or in some cases only one option. Isn't that a serious problem that needed to be tackled?
Well, and that's why you fix what you have. What we have right now made sure that 20 million people who previously didn't have health insurance now have that, and we have some assurances that if you have a pre-existing condition, you now have access to health care, and there's not a lifetime cap if you're actually sick. But where we see things that have to be fixed, that's where we could have a public option that would provide competition in those areas. And there's other things that we could do that would not rob health care from tens of millions of people. And the fact that, you know, their bill ultimately really was more about giving tax breaks. $600 billion worth of tax breaks were in that bill to the wealthiest Americans, to insurance companies and big pharma. And that's the problem. It wasn't about healthcare, solving a healthcare problem. It was about starting tax reform. Unfortunately, you know, 98% of Wisconsin wasn't included in that bill.
Talking to Representative Mark Pocan from Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. He's a Democrat. He held an event in Speaker Paul Ryan's district, one of a handful of Democrats around the state going to neighboring Republican districts to hold town hall meetings. Are you worried, Representative Pocan, that this is just going to be perceived as a stunt trolling the other side?
Well, you know, I hope there's a little bit of a shaming maybe involved that, you know, if you're not willing to listen to your constituents, that there is some force we can put on people. You know, I think often there's excuses. They say we do telephone town halls. You know, I used to do those. One, they're expensive. They cost the taxpayers about $6,000. And two, you can screen questions. You don't do that when you're doing face-to-face town halls. So I think if we can make people realize that if they're not going to do them, someone else might come in their district and that might not play real well with people, then, you know, I think we actually make it a better democracy because people might then face their constituents, even the ones they disagree with, and maybe they'll learn something along the way.
Now, you've talked about working with people on the other side of the aisle. Going back to your days in the legislature, I think it was you and Robin Voss who wrote a piece before Act 10 days about trying to respect the other side and work together. Do you still hold on to hopes that you could do that at the state level or in Washington?
You know, I think within 24 hours I did both, right? The day before, I was working with a Republican member of our state delegation that wanted to do outreach and wanted to do the right thing. And then today, someone who's ignoring their constituents. So I think you can do both parts of it. But ultimately, you know, Wisconsin's a medium-sized state. We got to watch out for the whole state in addition to our district. And I grew up in Kenosha where we had that town hall. I've got family down there. I've got friends from high school and their kids and their grandkids down there. You know, it's not right that they have a representative who won't listen to them. So I had no problem with going down there and doing that, and I did it, and I think in for the most part, a respectful way. And I think that, you know, you can do that and yet still increase the dialogue and debate that needs to happen.
I want to get your thoughts in the next couple of minutes on the biggest story in the country, the firing of FBI Director James Comey and the ongoing Russia investigation. First, what was your reaction to the dismissal of the FBI director?
Well, you know, more than the dismissal was the reasons around the dismissal. I mean, finding out the White House saying one thing and then coming up with a different answer that's completely different. And in the end of the day, what it appears is the FBI is investigating the Trump White House for possible collusion with the Russians interfering with our elections a week before It sounds like the FBI director was asking for more money to continue this investigation. And all of a sudden, at first, we get a whole different set of reasons why. And I think we're starting to just wonder that, you know, this is perhaps obstruction of justice. This is him trying to stop himself from being investigated by the FBI director. And I think it's raised all kinds of concerns, including, by the way, from Republicans. I'm watching Republicans who've never really said much about this be pretty vocal. So, you know, I think we might be at a turning point where this White House is, you know, going to have to answer for some of their very irregular actions.
We've heard calls for an independent prosecutor, mostly from Democrats there, for a select committee in Congress from people like John McCain. Speaker Ryan has said, hey, we've got a House Intelligence Committee investigation, a Senate Intelligence Committee investigation, FBI investigation. We don't need a fourth investigation. What would you like to see happen with the investigation going forward?
Yeah, I don't want a bunch of politicians having to make these determinations. I mean, right now we've watched the dysfunction of the House Intelligence Committee because of partisanship. You know, this is something where we've got to choose country over party, and I think a special prosecutor is the best path. And honestly, if I was President Trump and I had nothing to hide, I would want a special prosecutor to get this thing out of the way so he can move ahead with his presidency. But, you know, we need to get to the bottom of it, and I think the best way to do it is to have a complete independent process, and a special prosecutor is probably the best way to do that.
If things had gone a different way and we had a President Hillary Clinton, would you have backed her firing of FBI Chief James Comey, as people thought she might do?
It all depends how she would have did it. If she would have had one set of reasons and then another set of reasons, and it turned out that the FBI director was investigating her and she just didn't like that, I probably would have been doing the exact same thing.
Representative Pocan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Mark Pocan. He's a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 2nd Congressional District. He joined us today to talk about the town hall meeting he hosted in Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan's district earlier today.